Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can watch this on YouTube with viewing for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time, wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! Tobin and Leroy here with you on 104.3 FM, WQAM. Welcome to 0-2, everybody. Miami Dolphins lose to the New England Patriots in just about the most mind-numbing fashion there is. Operational issues. Year 4 of Mike McDaniel can't still get on the same page. Let's just go down like that, Leroy. Let's just go down with delay of games, you know, operational issues, can't communicate. It's awesome. What a feeling you have to have after a game like that, you know?
My biggest concern was the fact that the one unit that you could count on, you couldn't count on.
Well, we thought we could and count on.
We thought we could count on.
We were duped.
And I think that's the most disappointing thing, because I myself have said on a number of occasions, football doesn't transfer from year to year. Even though your team may be successful, you have to rebuild it, you know, every year. So if you have a great defense, you're going to have different players. You're going to have to kind of do things a little bit differently because, you know, there's offensive minds out there that'll take advantage of it. So you do have to change it up. But I thought the one thing that would be consistent with this team is a pass rush. And it was a little bit better, but now we have 2 weeks where the quarterback has just been able to stand back there and not be untouched.
Oh, yeah.
Just
out of reach.
Yep. Along with Jalen Phillips dropping back to cover passes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't great. Yep. Him getting run over wasn't great. He just really hasn't been great. I mean, understood. He's dealt with a lot of injuries the last 2 years. He may still be trying to find himself. Bradley Chubb's look good.
It'll take time. Look, my whole thing was that I do realize that even though you're playing, and I've told you this before, when you come back from an injury and you're able to play football, it doesn't mean you're at the same level you were when you left. It just means that you can play.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so the only reason why I got upset over that was, so we're going to have him not just focusing on little things to get back, but we're going to have him run around in the secondary?
It's tough, man. It's not fun right now. It's not fun times.
It's not, especially when you have one of the best returns I've seen in a while as far as effort, only to have it gone in 12 seconds.
I never had
a good feeling last that short of a time, and I'm talking about any situation.
Dude, I like was sitting there with you, and I'm like, I don't accept what I just watched. I don't. What do you mean? Like, we just had this incredible moment, and you're just gonna give it right back to the Patriots with stupid Mike Vrabel and that smug rat face of his, just running willy nilly down the sidelines after Malik Washington takes not one but two hits, reverses field, takes it all the way to the house, the first punt return in 5 years. For the franchise, and you got it 12 seconds of joy.
Yep.
That's crazy.
I told you, like, the way this team is, I would have went to the kicker and said, just kick it out of the back of the end zone. Let's enjoy it for 2 minutes.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Like, who cares? Who cares? Like, the last thing you want is just kick it out of the end zone. But, like, saying the game was better from the offensive side of the ball, it doesn't really do anything because now your right side of your line is yikes.
Yeah, it was better until it wasn't, until we got to the same old issues. And that's the thing that's frustrating is like, yeah, they had moments and yes, they were good numbers, but like the crux of the team is like, oh, when it needs to be running smooth, there is the false start. There's the operational failure. There's a delay of game. There's us blowing timeouts. It's like, right. it's so exhausting. And the thing that is most frustrating about it is, dude, you guys, particularly Mike and Tua, you guys have been together now for 4 years and we got year one problems. This was okay. A year one, we talked about pre-snap penalties. Year four together, all of you.
Yeah, but whatever. But I understand that everybody's hot and mad and whatever. Those things happen in games. Like,
but
stands out. It happens every game. I'm not saying with just the Dolphins. It happens.
Yeah, but
right. There's certain points in the game, certain situations in the game where you just don't want to rush it.
I get you, but like even after the game, this is what frustrating because I was listening to the pressers on the way home from your house, and I'm like, these guys are like, it's already started where they're all throwing each other under the bus, and particularly what's been noticeable is Mike and Tua seem to be throwing each other under the bus, and I'm like, that's yikes, because those guys used to be in the foxhole together, and now it feels, you know what this is, dude?
What?
This is rats off a ship. This is what it is. And everybody sees that all of a sudden you got planes flying, fans were booing by drive one. The rats start looking for driftwood. They do.
Yeah.
And that's what we got going on here. It's not good. It's not going to be conducive to this getting fixed. It's not.
What sucks about that game more than anything is you got down two scores and you were able to come back and take the lead.
Yep.
And that was like, okay, we got something here. And then you manage to just, like, yikes. Like,
headlines.
I don't know, but I just think that when you're in a situation like this,
yep.
Sometimes you just look at all the unfortunate things instead of the things that actually cause the loss. Like, whether they're having problems calling play, it happens with everybody. Right, it just sucks that it's happening to this team. That's not just exclusive to them. But when you give up a touchdown right after you score a big touchdown, like when your defense,
they've given up a score every time.
Right.
Like basically right. Every time.
Like if I told you one thing, we concentrate on Mike McDaniel and Tua. But if I tell you through the first game and a little more than a half, your defense haven't forced the team to punt. Okay? That's more of an issue than anything they're doing on the other side of the ball.
It is more it is an issue, but they put them in position to take the lead. Like that,
right,
like in a game that's going back and forth, right. Like they did give them the chance to win and they pooped the bed like they always do. So I get you. That's the thing. It's like we could literally point to every phase and be like, yeah, I would say if we want to say, hey, who was worse at their job in the totality of the game? For sure the defense over 2 weeks. Okay, maybe you could say that. But it's been everything. It's been a special teams failure. And then when the defense does come up, the offense fails. And when the offense comes up, the defense fails. And that, you know what we just have? We just have a bad football team. That's just what it is. We just have a bad football team. We have a bad football team that feels rotten. It feels like it's rotten from the inside, and it feels like they're heading to the Undertaker on Thursday. Like that's what it feels like. You know? It feels like we're gonna kick that off and we're just waiting for Josh Allen to do what Josh Allen's going to do to them, which he's been doing the entirety of his career. And then I'm sure on Friday we'll get the news. Mike McDaniel's been relieved of his duties. Like, that just feels what we're headed towards. Does anybody have faith they're going to win? Why would we?
No, I mean, yeah, there's two teams in two different places.
Of course. Of course.
Right. And so, yeah, I would venture. I would take it one step further. They have to go to Buffalo.
Yep.
That'll be the biggest spread of the week.
It's 13 and a half.
Yeah.
It's 13 and a half.
I didn't need Hard Rock Bet to tell me. Right. I didn't need. Thank you, Hard Rock, for your analysis. You are trying to get people to vote to bet. But I could have told you that. If you asked me what it was, I would have said two touchdowns.
Headlines are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. Doral Hyundai, home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or at DoralHyundai.com. So the final score yesterday, 33-27. Dolphins lose to the Patriots. Oof. Had banners flying before the game. Fire Greer, fire McDaniel. Steven Ross looked miserable. Oof.
Yeah.
He looked quite perturbed.
He should be. He should be, and here's why. Because he was that owner that was out there. Then he kind of sat back and let everybody do their job. And he's sitting there like, you have to think, you know, like, how about this? Insult to injury. You ready? Mm-hmm. Insult to injury. Calais Campbell had two sacks.
He ended the game.
Right. Now, we could go one step further. Van Ginkle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Look at the guys who you have in their place, and I'm not going to even count Grant, because, you know, I do believe that was a good pick.
Mm-hmm. Although, but Tyler Warren again yesterday, monster game for the Colts.
Right. But when you look at just on that side of the ball, the guys that you let walk
mm-hmm.
versus the guys you have there, and your defense not giving up a punt in a game and a half.
Right.
Right. Now,
I was asking a genuine question this morning because I don't know the answer to this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I sound stupid, apologies. But I was asking a genuine question. Now, nobody was helpful because everybody was just snarky on Twitter. Twitter's not a safe space for questions. If you ask a question, they just mock you. So I'll ask it here. But I ask a genuine question.
Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm going to ask you. Okay. Looking for solutions, because I don't know the answer, okay?
Okay.
What's the deal with Christian Wilkins? Like, is he hurt still? Can we sign him? Can we bring him in for help? Like, I'm genuinely looking for solutions here, because this defensive line is very young, and they are Swiss cheese right now. Is he hurt? Is he suing somebody? I have heard nothing about him since this story happened. It's gone completely dark. There's been no, right. I haven't heard a rumor, a whisper, a rumbling. Is he hurt? Can we call him? Can he be here on Thursday to antagonize Josh Allen just a little bit? Can we call him? Is that possible? I'm asking questions. Did he sign with anybody? Is he with anybody? I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I'm grasping at straws. Look, we got to fire everybody. But I just wanted to ask a quick question. I was just saying, hey, can I be helpful here for a second? Am I being helpful? We signed a guy who retired 2 years ago. Can I get a defensive tackle who was actually really good for the team? Or is he suing somebody, or is he hurt? I don't know the answers. I just have questions.
I think we in life have a hard time of leaving well enough alone. Right? Zach Sealer and Calais Campbell were really good inside. Really good.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one made the Pro Bowl and the other one was just a leader and whatever. Well enough. Other teams that have two guys like that pay $40, $50 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because both of those guys usually sign big contracts. You could have got both of those guys on this team for $30 million, $25, $30 million a year. And I don't understand that. How much better would you get than that? And that's the thing that I have a problem with all these guys walking. Is not like I get the Christian Wilkins thing. That was going to cost a lot. Mm-hmm. Not as much as he made, but it would have cost a lot. So I understand, even if I don't agree with it, I understand why you made that move. But a lot of the guys on that defense you let walk were not making a lot of money. And that's what I struggle with. So is Christian Wilkins available? I think he's not playing football right now because of that lawsuit.
Okay. Well, you may be right.
Or the foot's
not right. I don't know.
He probably should have had surgery.
Maybe. I just haven't heard any. I haven't heard anything about it, and I'm looking for ideas. Mostly, I just want everybody fired. But besides that, I'm just trying to find solutions because I look at a defense. That defensive line's very young. They're getting gashed up the middle like crazy. Zach Sealer's done nothing, and I don't know. Maybe it's because he's getting double teamed every time. I'm not really sure, but it's not having any impact whatsoever. And I was like, can they go get Christian Wilkins? Is that possible? But it probably doesn't matter. He should probably go somewhere where he could actually do some impact winning. You know,
yep.
It's probably a lost cause here, but I'm out of ideas. Right. The Canes.
Let's get to the Canes.
Hammered! USF. I mean, what an absolute ass kicking. That was awesome.
I look at this and go, the other two teams couldn't have been that good either. Florida proved it, and I wonder how good. Who else did they beat? They beat
Boise.
Boise State. I told you first week rankings, being ranked 24th or 25th means you could be 30th. But
they
were remember you from last year.
They were dogs though in that game still.
No, I know they were dogs, but I'm just saying that first game of the season being ranked, you know, that low, 20 to 25, that means nothing. So. But then we came back the next week, and we thought, okay, is it a situation where Florida spit the bit and just did some stupid things and the game was close? And
that is what Florida does.
Right. Or is USF really good? And because they beat two ranked teams, Vegas wasn't falling for it, right? Because they go, man, how do you have a ranked team and you're a 17.5-point favorite against them? Well, that's why,
dude.
Because they saw and they look. And I asked the question last week: like, is it more of the about the other teams, or is it about USF?
I don't know, but I do know the Canes put as thorough an ass kicking as they could put on anybody. They basically played a perfect game.
They didn't even look like two ranked teams.
No.
They didn't.
But the Canes right now are number four, and that is what a number four team should do to a team that has just kind of snuck in there. They throttled them, and they have just so much beef on that offensive line.
Yes.
And hey, they're just think,
You think Georgia wants Beck back?
Hey, look at him, dude. Idiots.
Is that crazy? But there we go. There's another example. Why can't we leave well enough alone?
Carson Beck's playing with a swagger, dude. He's got a handshake every time he scores a touchdown, Brittany.
Oh, he's doing special bro dap to everybody.
Woo! I've never been so happy to be wrong about something in my whole life than him.
Oh, you didn't think Carson Beck was going to be any good?
No, not that I didn't think he was going to be any good. I just was scared about the interceptions because of how horrible it was last year for him. Plus coming off of surgery, we've seen this film before, you know? I mean, there's really not a difference with Tua. Like, he came in, obviously it's a different league, but like, still, I was like nervous about a injured quarterback coming in.
Well, but the difference is, and I'll tell you the difference right now, is that Carson Beck is a big boy.
Moose.
Yeah, he is a big boy.
And the other thing is that when you're pressing in the SEC to try to get wins when you have to and you throw picks.
Well, also, he didn't have receivers.
Like, you also have to look at situations. Like, a lot of times we just look at the stats at the end of a game and not understand the circumstances of why. Mm-hmm. You know, you have 4th and 10 at the end of a game and you chuck one up and get a pick. You can't go, oh, there goes Carson Beck throwing picks again. And there was a lot of that in the SEC because a lot of their games were kind of close. So I get all that. But to your point, there was a lot of people who had questions about that. Mm-hmm. But the guy's been, what, 80%?
Dude, he's been so good.
And been accurate.
And the thing is, accurate. Brittany, like, you come into the season, you're worried because you lose all those receivers. This might be better than last year.
No, they're better. I don't even have to whisper it.
We got these freshmen, dude. They're so good.
From top to bottom.
They're so good. We got Malachi Toney so good. And this Joshua Moore, he did a half a Randy Thanksgiving Moss.
I know.
Yeah. He basically was just like, oh, 2 catches, 2 touchdowns.
Like, they're so. And CJ Daniels again with.
Oh, my God. Dude, if he didn't have the catch that was the catch, that catch would be up for any catch of the year. He caught a ball being swaddled by a cornerback.
He literally went around his body. It was the most insane thing I've ever seen. He went around his body to catch that ball. It was.
And then maybe the guy who doesn't get enough credit and should is Mark Fletcher. Because this guy, he's a friggin' bulldozer.
He had as good of a game as any running back can have in college football, to be honest.
He's like, such a moose. He's it's unbelievable. No, the Canes, this feels top to bottom. Like, they definitely feel like they fixed a lot of their issues. I don't know.
Well, I'm trying to take
a task at hand, one game at a time. They're so deep, Leroy. They just feel like they feel so complete as a team right now.
Here's what I like about it. All of the questions that you had, and we just talked about them, young wide receivers, we talk about the secondary, but again, if you have a pass rush, you don't have to rely on the secondary as much. Right? They get after you on the defensive side of the ball. Offensively, they can throw it around, right? They have the weapons to throw it around, but it all starts with Fletcher and running the ball inside with those big linemen. Now, basically, as you go through the season, now you look for the test, right? Like, yeah, you're dominant against Notre Dame, and that was a great win because they were known as the team up front.
Right.
That can handle everybody, and you put it on them.
Yep.
You went to Bethune, took care of business. USF wasn't what everybody claimed they were.
But you did it even worse than what was thought was going to do it.
Right, exactly.
And had to deal with a stupid delay in the middle of the game. Came out of that delay.
Oh, my God. Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah, it sucked.
Nothing like having a delay and having it sunny at your house.
we'll take a break. More to come here on the show. Lots to get into. We'll get to some of your Dolphins calls. I'm sure people are in their feelings. We'll hear from Mike McDaniel and Tua. And, you know, it doesn't feel all great at Miami Gardens Land right now. Not too good, dude. Back after this. Tobin.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
But Leroy here with you. Mike Tyson. Bringing his return to the Mike Show to the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino this December. Stories and more from Iron Mike. Got a chance to win tickets. All you got to do, text the word dynamite to 20357. He's a friend of the show now, by the way. He's in. Dynamite. Text dynamite to 20357. For more information, go to WQAM.com. It's text contest. Message and data rates apply. Don't text and drive. Tickets are also available for purchase at casino.hardrock.com/Hollywood/events. I think you could also just get them at hardrock.com/Tyson or Mike Tyson. So that might be a little kind of easier. But anyway, appreciate Iron Mike. Oh, man. Did I have a fun night Saturday night watching that boxing? God, it was good. That Terrence Crawford, dude, he's so good. I was just I really just you know, you always say appreciate greatness. He's so great. Yeah. He's so great.
Like when the guy who has pretty much beat everybody standing in front of him can't get a hand on him. And we've now said this about two guys, Errol Spence, and we kind of know what Errol Spence went through, you know, with the accident or whatever.
Yep. Errol Spence went through a lot, but he was still, I mean, still Errol Spence.
Right. But to say Errol Spence and what he did to Canelo with two guys who could not touch him. He's a bigger Floyd Mayweather.
It's crazy. Like, I mean, he went up.
He's so tactical and he picks his point. And it's funny because we were talking yesterday and I said, he does this thing where for like three or four rounds, he doesn't really do much of anything. It's almost like he's plotting his course.
Yep.
And then you come out for like the middle to the end of the thing and it's like, oh, here he is.
Well, here's the thing I would say that's different with him and Floyd. And this is interesting because Canelo said after the fight, he was asked specifically, he said, who's better? And he said, Terrence Crawford's way better than Floyd Mayweather. And I was like, whoa, that's something. Because Terrence didn't exactly give Canelo his flowers. He said like some lightweight back a few fights was a harder puncher than Canelo Alvarez. Now, Canelo, to his credit, he's just like, I didn't even hit him clean. Like, that's part of it. But Canelo's like, Terrence Crawford's way better. And I thought about this afterwards, and I don't know what the answer to that is, because obviously Floyd is great. But I will tell you, there's a couple of things. One, the big difference that Floyd will always have is Floyd got out away from Bob Arum and Top Rank and was able to do things from a money standpoint that gave him a freedom and put himself on a different pedestal than Terrence Crawford was ever able to. He was a little bit in this promotional fog for so many times, and he just couldn't take on the best guys in the world because all the welterweights and all the lightweights were kind of boxed into another promotion. So that really slowed a lot of his exposure.
It was basically the Tyson thing, what Tyson was talking about as far as
right.
getting clicks and making money, and it wasn't about boxing.
But I'll tell you this, dude. He's undisputed in three different weight classes, and he went up to 168. That needs to be, like, in history, Floyd's great. I'm not taking anything away from Floyd's greatness, okay? And even Terrence didn't want to do that. He said Floyd could be the greatest in his. But I'm telling you right now, what he did was so impressive to go from a guy at 140 up to 168 at one little 154 fight. And by the way, not against the bum. Took out Madrimov. To do that, man, that's something. And he is that dude's a shark. Like Floyd, he'll embarrass you. He'll make you look stupid in a fight, but he ain't a shark when he comes into the ring. Like right. Terrence Crawford's coming to hurt you. And I think that's just for me.
No,
I think that's a separator for me. I don't know.
Disagree. I would say like and here's you think he'll go back down?
He said he ain't going to 154. He's like, I'm not going. He said he's not doing well. I kind of feel like he's going to rematch it and call it a career. That's what I think.
My thing is, because remember, Roy Jones was one of the best boxers I ever saw. And he went up.
Yep.
And the worst thing that happened was he won the heavyweight. Yeah. It was light heavyweight. Or was it?
No, he won the heavyweight. And then he went back down. And that killed
and
him.
And he never looked the same.
Nope.
And that's what I'm wondering if something like that could happen. Because if that didn't happen, then I would say, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Because I thought when Roy Jones went up in weight and won the heavyweight championship, I was like, holy smokes, what do we have here? Then he went back down. Dude was never the same.
I was just very impressed with him. But anyway, we'll get back into football. I got to take a break. We got to get back on track. And we'll take a break. We'll hear from McDaniel, from Tua, if we must.
We have to.
Yeah, we kind of do. Sorry, dude. We got to hear the quibbling. Back after this. All
right. We taking calls today?
Of course.
All right.
Back after this.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together, we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 104.3 FM, WQAM. Take you guys up until 2. How'd you guys like to have a Pro Bowl Miami football player come and visit an elementary school of your choice? Could happen. WQAM's MVP experience with the Dolphins. Zach, sealer it on up. He's on board. And speaking of school, go to WQAM.com and enter an elementary school in Broward or Dade now for your chance to get a visit from Zach Sealer, where he'll speak to students and more. For contest rules, go to WQAM.com. I feel like elementary school.
Hey, how about I could do it? How about having a Pro Bowl running back?
Yeah, you were. If you guys want, while Zach's trying to figure out the whole stop anybody on defense.
Hey.
Just let us know. We could have a sub if he needs a sub.
Is that like one of those things that once you are, you're that for life?
Pro Bowl? Yeah. It's like the champ. Once you're the champ, you're the champ.
Cool.
Yep, that's it, dude.
I have to use that more often.
You do, dude. Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Oh, let's hear from Mike McDaniel after this loss.
No,
I'm sorry. Yet. We got to. Here's what he had to say on the miscommunication issues at the end of the game.
I came into a place of zen, right?
Yeah.
My heart thing is on its way. I'm trying to do zen. Even watching the game yesterday.
Yeah.
I didn't even yell.
You were very.
It was over. Mm-hmm. I took my earbuds out and I said, looked over at you and said, well, this one's over and now I can concentrate on this one.
What was the final score? 41-10? Like, what the hell was
it? Oh, yeah. I was rats off a ship way before that because Joe Flacco started throwing it to the other team. And I'm like, well, that's what you get with Joe Flacco.
41-17, the Ravens beat the Browns yesterday.
The year you realize the year he got comeback player of the year, he had 8 touchdowns and 6 picks.
Yeah.
So
I realize.
I think
Stefanski went to that well a little too much.
Agreed. I told you. Hey, there's a couple of quarterbacks that, boy, you put them in the game, they will light you up, but you know what's coming. It's Joe Flacco and Jameis Winston, right? You know those two guys. Jameis was going to throw for 400 if you throw him in the game. Then he's going to throw for 100 with 4 picks.
I saw you on Twitter yesterday going at the Cowboys and then their stupid kicker with his robot leg.
I had to give myself a minus one. Hey, see?
Minus one.
That's why I don't tweet.
Minus one.
At the time,
for show bonus,
430 yards passing to Russell Wilson.
Yep.
Right? And then dude made a 64-yard field goal.
Their kicker's incredible.
They came back and they won. That ball was in the air so long it went both ways. It started going this way and then it curved back this way. I'm like, wow. Holy smokes. Was I just – I mean, my point was still valid.
Your point's valid, but
– It was – yeah, that wasn't – I take the minus one. It was all – I was trying to be too cute, and you know, my Twitter thumbs were trying to get the attention off of how bad I felt because, you know, both my teams got throttled.
Yep.
And so I was like, okay, let me go. Oh, you know what? The Cowboys, they're always available. And I start watching that game and the bomb, the teardrop right in the double coverage that gets caught. Like, holy smokes. Yeah, I came out right away.
I saw.
I didn't try to defend it. I didn't, just trying to make a little funny here. I say, hey, I'll take the minus one. This game is incredible.
The Dolphins game was also incredible. If it wasn't for circumstances, you'd be like, yeah, that was a pretty crazy game. But unfortunately, the Dolphins are in the midst of a firestorm right now. And people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Here was Mike McDaniel on the communication issues.
Yeah, I think that ultimately I look at absolutely everything falling on me. So I don't see, that's the responsibility of a head coach, that you go into knowing that. That being said, I'm very frustrated with, there's some basically coaches and players that did not execute communication in a very dire period of the game, with the game on the line. Our communication and our substitution was not up to par, and ultimately that is my, I hold all responsibility for all things. So I will make sure that things that should already be ironed out moving forward, we will not fall victim to the same thing again, as I have to ensure that with we'll put the appropriate emphasis on that, because it was not acceptable. We had the opportunity to win the game, and we robbed it from ourselves.
I would say there's a couple of things here. One, you could have ended that with "that falls on me, I got to be better." Next question.
Yep, could have. But he's so inefficient with his words.
And sometimes it comes across even worse when you carry on that way.
Yep.
But let's be fair. That's just the way he does things.
Let's just be fair. He is a motor mouth.
Right. And so like, it is what it is. That being said, offensively, I thought they played better. They had a nice little combination of, passes and runs. I still am not a fan of that outside anything, because it just seems like they're going into a game saying, let's take this away from them.
Right.
And you got to have ways of battling that. I don't care if you have a fake toss or a fake handoff on every play, that's going to pull somebody out, because they're going to make sure with all that speed they're running out there to defend that. It gives you space inside. I think the right side of the line was yikes.
Oh, especially at the end of the game. Oh, my God.
Especially at the end of the game.
Oh, my God.
But, like, what did you expect? I mean,
you have a general manager who doesn't believe in injuries or anything.
And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to keep saying this, and I'm going to say this till everybody hears me. The blueprint is out there how to build a championship football team. Right? You look at all the successful teams in the NFL. They all have one thing in common: good offensive line, good defensive line. That's why, for the life of me, I can't ever figure out why they keep throwing Cincinnati in the mix.
Oh, Joe Burrow, by the way, is
who's been more hurt than Tua?
He is out at least 3 months, but probably the season.
Dude, I'm telling you, think about how strapping and how big these athletes are, and how small your big toe is. That is a career. That thing there will have you crying like a baby. And he needs surgery?
Yep.
So, yeah. But if you look at how all these teams are built, pick a team that you think is going to compete for a championship. And I'm going to start here. Not with a quarterback. I'm going to start with your offensive line and defensive line. And they're going to be ranked in the upper echelon of the NFL.
I mean, I watched last night. I watched Eagles and Chiefs. It was a rock fight.
Exactly. And that's why you can win games like that, is because you can play inside. You can play within the lines of scrimmage.
Poof.
And guess what the difference was? that offensively they weren't as good, and Philly's defense got after Patrick Mahomes.
Can I tell you what I hated, though, about that game?
What?
I hated Nick Sirianni coming in there on third down with his little, you know, sourpuss face that he makes with his little throw of the challenge flag because he believes his beloved Tush Push got in.
He was very flamboyant.
Very flamboyant. Yeah.
Like he was jumping it and her like he was throwing a shot put or something.
And they have to go to this Tush Push review, right? This stupid play, which we're so sick of, right? And Leroy, I feel like the refs just – it definitely was a touchdown. I'm just going to say that. Nick Sirianni was right. But I think they just did it out of principle not to give him the touchdown because they have –
We could see it during the play. We're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Look at him pass the line.
Right. But I think they just did it on principle just because they're like, this play is stupid. You have to get all the way in because you basically had Jalen Hurts bent in a right angle. And this is what we have to, like, look in there and see. And, you know, and then, of course, inevitably, they go, it upholds, and then they tush-push again, and he's in. You know, it's like, right. It would have been faster if we all just would have gotten to the inevitable tush-push touchdown. I don't need a review. It's enough of this already. So, yeah. We'll hear more from old Motormouth and Tua. He's sad, too. And if you guys want to get your Dolphins calls in, we'll start getting to those. 305-567 0560, regular old second hours next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.